hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
What would things look like if Satan really took control of a city? Over half a century ago, Presbyterian minister Donald Gray Barnhouse offered his own scenario on his radio broadcasts. Barnhouse speculated that if Satan took over Philadelphia, all the bars would be closed, pornography banished, pristine streets would be filled with tidy pedestrians who smiled at each other, there would be no swearing, the children would say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and the churches would be full every Sunday where Christ is not preached. That is the first opening to his book, Christless Christianity, The American Captivity of the Church, where Michael Horton outlines the current climate of the American church, and maybe you've experienced this in Canada, Wes, where Christ is not being preached, but the predominant message is do more and try harder. You think we've experienced this on this wide scale of a level?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's definitely on both sides of the border. You know, the state of American Christianity can't be divorced from the state of Canadian Christianity. It's the same across the board. You know, we're finding the eclipse of the gospel. The gospel is being lost. Christ is not being preached. You can go to any number of churches on both sides of the border where you walk into church and the Bible is not even opened. I mean, I've heard from any number of people who are also listening to this program, they're trying to find a church where just the Bible is open, where the Bible is being preached, where there's preaching based on what the Bible teaches. You know, and I remember an example a couple of years ago from a church that even called itself a Reformed church. So this is a problem that's not just in
that's right.
This is a problem everywhere across the board. A church in Calgary, Alberta, where the minister wasn't using the Bible as his text for his sermons. Rather, he was using The Simpsons. They would sit in church and the message would begin by watching an episode of The Simpsons. And that would be the text for the sermon. And then the minister would try to preach Christ or try to preach some kind of moral message or what have you from The Simpsons.
Wes, I have to say this. I've had about enough of all this. It just keeps going and going. The line is pushed back farther and farther. You know what? Jesus is a life coach. He's some sort of super hero for us to emulate in what we're hearing today. But he's not a redeemer.
Yeah.
And Michael Horton makes this case so strongly. He says, I think and you said this is common across the border, but I think the church in America today is so obsessed with being practical, relevant, helpful, successful, and perhaps even well-liked, that it nearly mirrors the world itself. You know, we're obsessed with how to be relevant to the world. And Horton goes on to say, is there anything more relevant that God gave his son to die, to be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ? Is there anything more relevant than that message? What a horrible thing to think, that people think they need to get beyond Christ and him crucified to something that's more practical.
Well, I think what this illustrates is that people have this conception that the gospel is good for the beginning of your Christian life. The gospel is there for when you first become a Christian, when you walk the aisle, you made your choice, what have you. But then after that, all you need to be fed with is what to do, how to live a Christian life. You need to be given instruction. Well, no, we need the gospel constantly. And you think of what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, when he speaks about how he came to the Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel has to be at the front and center of any church worth its name.
You know, and one thing that Horton makes the case in his book, Christless Christianity, is that we end up in the church today saying, when we don't do what Wes just outlined, saying very little that the world could not hear from Dr. Phil, Dr. Laura, or Oprah. And this is just true. He says, my concern is that we're getting dangerously close to the place in everyday American church life where the Bible is mined for relevant quotes. Now, let's go back to that statement, Wes, where you said the Bible's not being open. People are looking for a church where the Bible's open and preached. If it is, they're not really wrestling through the text. The Bible becomes sort of a fortune cookie so that I can pull out my quotes for my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And not showing us Christ, and so Horton goes on here, the Bible becomes largely irrelevant on its own terms. God is used as a personal resource rather than known, worshiped, and trusted. Jesus Christ is a coach with a good game plan for our victory rather than a Savior who has already achieved it for us. Salvation is more a matter of having our best life now. Remember, that was the number one title of the book on the average Christian bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Then being saved from God's judgment by God himself. And the Holy Spirit is an electrical outlet we can plug in for the power we need to be all that we can be.
Yeah. This is a tragedy that's taking place in our churches, a tragedy that's taking place in North America. You know, you think of this interview with Joel Osteen on 60 Minutes a while back, where, you know, he was interviewed and he was asked, you know, how come you never talk about Jesus Christ? How come you never talk about Jesus Christ as a savior for sinners? And his answer was, you know, that's just not what I do. I just try to be helpful for everybody. And then that same clip from 60 Minutes also showed, you know, Joel Osteen at a book signing, and he had a Roman Catholic and a Jew come up to the table and just thank him and for the wonderful impact that he's had on their lives. Well, what happened to the offense of the cross? What happened to the offense of the gospel? Instead, you know, you're doing stuff that even Jews and Roman Catholics can find encouragement and strength from. There's something wrong in all of this. And I think, too, a while back I was watching CNN, and there was a popular Christian author on there promoting his new book about Christmas. And I kid you not, he talked about Christmas for about 5 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes, that's how long the clip was on CNN, and he did not mention Jesus Christ once.
Well,
can you imagine talking about Christmas
and
not talking about Jesus Christ?
Let's get to that, because Horton makes the case in the first chapter of his book that we become worse than liberals. I mean, the liberals of the early 20th century, he said, now we're talking about liberals, we're talking about those who denied any of the supernatural, the virgin birth, these sort of core doctrines. But he said liberals may have pioneered the theory that there is salvation in other names than Jesus Christ, but no group in modern history has wanted the general public to pray non-sectarian prayers, that is, with or without Jesus. And he goes on to say that it's silliness that is killing us softly. At least liberals would mention the name of Christ. They may have devalued anything supernatural. But today, we're worse than liberals. We've stripped Christianity even of Christ.
Right. There's no offense left at all, right? And, you know, here again, I think we have to keep going back to the scriptures and going back to the apostles and their philosophy of ministry. You know, Galatians 1 verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
You know, Wes,
those are heavy words.
And he goes on in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know what he indicted that church for? It's just fascinating. For he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. He is chiding this church because they're putting up with accepting a false Jesus preached and a false spirit in the life of the church. And I think Horton captures this really powerfully when he says, when the focus becomes, what would Jesus do? Instead of what has Jesus done, the labels no longer matter. Our cross-bearing becomes the more interesting topic than what Jesus has actually accomplished for sinners.
Yeah. Well, you see that with that, from a few years ago, the slogan, what would Jesus do, right? The focus on ethics that we see around us so much, right? Forgetting about what Christ has done, forgetting about the gospel. We just need to know what Jesus would want us to do. What would he do in this or that situation?
Now,
it's a tragedy.
Well, and we say this today, not to be so negative all the time, because that's the Chris. You guys are sitting around on your high horses, negative about these things. No, we're saying this out of genuine love and concern that Jesus be preached in the way that the Bible calls us to preach him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and you know, we should encourage our listeners to make sure that you are in a church where the gospel is being preached, where the Bible is being opened, where you are hearing about Jesus Christ and what he has done, that's never taken for granted, that's never assumed. Because wherever that is taken for granted or wherever that's assumed, before long, the gospel is lost.
And we want to say also, we're indicting ourselves on this. Wes and I would both say today that we have to be, and we need to pray for preaching Christ better, for preaching Christ from all of Scripture. So we first look at the plank in our own eyes on this.
Yeah, exactly. It's something for all preachers. You know, maybe there are some preachers listening as well. Brothers, preach Christ. Preach him crucified. Preach the gospel of salvation, that we have a wonderful Savior who's lived a perfect life for his people, who's died in their place. That is what also powers the gospel or the word of God as it instructs people in how to live a Christian life. You know, even when we talk about sanctification, we can't divorce that from what Jesus Christ has done.
And that's what we want to challenge you with then today, as we have challenged ourselves. How is Christ being preached? As Horton says, as a corporate CEO, a life coach, a culture warrior, a political revolutionary, a philosopher, a co-pilot, co-sufferer, moral example, and partner in fulfilling our personal and social dreams. If that's how you're hearing Jesus, you're hearing him falsely preached.
Mm-hmm.
We preach him as a savior. As Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.